But one of the things I learned in teaching class is they said, never adjust the conversation. But I say, hello everyone, hello there. I don't know, well, some of you who are regular students, you know, I'm a seminarian, and there's some that I've spent time doing faculty training, so I have to be away from you all. So I just want to say that I miss you all. Hello, and so our Old Testament lesson this morning is an Olam. That is a revelatory vision from the book of Ezekiel. And in this oracle, God designates the prophet Ezekiel as the sentinel for the house of Israel. Now, at the time this oracle is revealed, Ezekiel is an exile in Babylon, along with others of Israel. So Ezekiel is not being called the sentinel over the physical kingdom of Israel, but rather over a community of exiles in Babylon. Now, what is a sentinel anyway? Well, a sentinel is a military term. It refers to a soldier who is positioned as a lookout, normally posted on a rampart or watch tower that might overlook a city, town, or fortress. And the duty of the sentinel is to blow the trumpet to warn soldiers and citizens of an approaching enemy army. So the sentinel's role is crucial in the protection of a city or fortress. Now this next detail is very important. If you are appointed as sentinel, not only are you responsible for protecting the lives of others, but you are in a sense protecting your own life as well. Because if you fall asleep at this post and the enemy army scales the wall, not only is everyone's life in danger when you're supposed to protect, but your life is in danger too. For you are also behind the wall that the enemy is not scaling. Now there's a similar logic at play when we speak of a night watchman on a ship. If the night watchman falls asleep at their post, and the ship is slammed into a reef or an iceberg, then not only does the crew go down with the boat, so too does the night watchman. So when the sentinel or the lookout is not in their job properly, everyone's life is in danger, including that of the sentinel. Now, when God designates Ezekiel as sentinel, God is not placing the prophet upon some watchtower or fortress. Rather, God is appointing Ezekiel as a watcher over the exiled community. And Ezekiel's job is not to warn the Israelites of some approaching army. Rather, Ezekiel's job is to warn the unrighteous of the justice of God, of the impending divine punishment that has become because of one's unrighteousness. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, what does it mean to be unrighteous? Well, in this book, it includes one or all of the following: idolatry, adultery, usury that is lending with interest, robbery, and a whole collection of social injustices, such as oppressing the poor and pushing aside the naked and the hungry. So Ezekiel's job is to warn the unrighteous to repent of their wickedness, to literally turn back to God and walk the path of righteousness once more. And if they do not repent, God will take their life. Now, as we discussed earlier, to be a sentinel does not mean that you are safe from impending danger. And in the oracle, God makes this point very clear to the prophet.
For God says to Ezekiel, if I will send out a warning to the unrighteous and say, turn from your wicked ways and you shall serve God. And Ezekiel, you said nothing. You said nothing. Not only will the wicked God, but you as the sentinel, I will take your life as well. So the watchman goes down with the steps. Now, personally, I find this text intriguing, but it is problematic in terms of ourselves. Not only must we grapple with this idea of God as judge and executioner, but this policy of the sentinel just doesn't seem fair, does it? I mean, if my neighbor is living in an unrighteous life, I am going to be fine, right? I mean, this is America, right? And people love to say it's a free country, I can do whatever I want, right? I mean, if I just want to live my life in peace, I want to bother with what my neighbor is doing, I should have the right to be silent, right? I should not say anything. Just to let them live their life and all live mine. But in this oracle, God is saying, sorry, this is not how it works. You see, as problematic as this text may be, I think that it reveals certain truths about the reality of life. That what we do or don't do impacts the lives of other people. And what others do or don't do impacts our lives as well. To quote the English poet and theologian John Donne, no man is an island. Our lives are interconnected. Our spiritual lives are interconnected. And as Christians, we only feel this connection more intimately. For we as Christians are the mystical body of Christ. And when one member of the body fails, the rest of the body begins to fail too. So God calls upon us to be proactive in building each other up. And sometimes, this means helping our brothers and sisters to return to the world when they are going astray. Now in our gospel reading, our Lord Jesus said something similar when he speaks of Passover revolution and the church. In our passage from Matthew, Jesus teaches us that when someone in the church has wronged you, the first step is to approach them and speak to them about it privately. Jesus does not say, step one, ignore them. Step two, get into silence. And step three, just be quiet to the point that the bitterness between you is excellent to the point that it can't be resolved anymore. And you don't have to raise your hand with this question. But if anyone here is part of a family that when you visit home, you feel the lingering tension in the room? Or have you visited a church where there's an elephant in the room the size of a maze, where you can feel the pent-up bitterness and the silence of the church? I know I have. Sometimes words unspoken can be just as damaging as words that are spoken. Inaction has its consequences. Now, in practice, helping others to repent and return to God is an art. It must be done lovingly and delicately, and it must be done with the right intention. For one must discern whether God is calling them to do it, or whether they are doing it out of anger or feeling of self-righteousness. So perhaps the how to do it is a subject for another time. But for today, we know the why. And what was Scripture teaching us this morning? That our lives are interconnected, that our spiritual lives are interconnected, and that we each have a duty to play a role in each other's salvation. And if God is calling you to say something, and I know it's difficult, to say something, for all action or inaction causes a ripple effect that exceeds the knowledge of another person. To end with a brief story, when I was in seventh grade, the first half of the year was the kind of dog thing. There were problems at home, I was hanging out with the wrong crowd, and my grades were just slipping. And one day, my English teacher, I remember her name, Miss Karen, probably had no idea what I was talking about today. She called the house because she could see that I was slipping away. And she called to express concern. Now, normally the teacher called the house to clarify, but this was a good thing because this parent's compassion influenced my mother to help me confront the problems that I was facing. And I'm not just saying this here before, I mean this genuinely. Who knew that one phone call would change me forever? That single action helped to make the man that I am today. And I thought about often what would happen if you had never called. So let the angels in heaven, let us watch over one another. Let us not fall asleep, but remain alert. Let us be sentinels to righteousness and keep one another on the path to love and peace. Amen.